Hello and welcome to Around Macoupin County. My guest on this weekend show is Dan Held. He's with Woodard and Kern and Public Works Manager for the City of Carlinville. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Morning, Rick. It's always a great pleasure to talk to the folks here at WSMI.
Dan, today we're going to talk about something that recently came up from, I guess you would say, the state of Illinois' EPA division, and they were talking about they're going to be testing all community water supplies throughout the state for a period of time. It's called an investigation, and they're looking for what they call the PFAS in drinking water supplies. And since you are involved with a public water supply, I thought we'd ask you really, what is this? Sort of what are they looking for? And can you tell us a little bit about the PFAS that the EPA alluded to?
Sure. So most of this comes from the federal EPA, and the notice that we got this last week is from the state Illinois EPA. So PFAS is sort of an umbrella term for pre- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. Now, that's kind of a mouthful. So from this point forward, there's like four basic chemicals that sort of make up that group: PFOA, PFOS, Gen X, and a couple other chemicals. But from this point forward, I'm just going to use the term PFAS. So PFAS have been manufactured and used in a variety of industries around the globe, including the United States since like 1940. The chemicals are very persistent in the environment and in the human body, meaning that they don't break down and they can accumulate over time. PFAS are resistant to heat, oil, stains, grease, and water, properties that contribute to their persistence in the environment. There is evidence that exposure to PFAS can lead to adverse human health effects, such as increased cholesterol levels among exposed populations, low infant birth weights, cancer, thyroid hormone disruption, and they can affect the immune system. So people are probably wondering, well, what are PFAS, and how do we get them? So PFAS can be found in food. So when you go to a fast food place and you get a drink, okay, it has that kind of plastic coating on it. Okay, mm-hmm. That's the PFA material. Okay. In household products, it could be used in water repellent fabrics, non-stick products like cooking pans, polishes, waxes, paints, cleaning products. And if your firefighting group uses foams, they can be found in that as well. Okay. In the workplace, they're used in chrome plating, electronics manufacturing, and oil recovery. In drinking water, they can get into the water through runoff from landfills, wastewater treatment plants, firefighting, training facilities, that kind of stuff. And I mentioned earlier that they can collect in the body. And that also includes, fish, animals, that kind of thing. They can accumulate there also. So you can get them through food. Okay. And so although the two major PFAs are the PFOA and the PFOS, they're no longer manufactured here in the United States, but they are still produced internationally and can be imported into the United States in consumer goods such as carpet, leather, apparel, textiles, paper, packaging, coating, and rubber and plastics.
These PFAs, the EPA is worried about them. They're in our drinking water, as you said, from runoff or however they get into the drinking supply. How will the testing go to find out, say, if Carlinville or any other community has presence in their drinking water of these chemicals?
Most of this comes through the Clean Water Act. About 5 years ago, the federal EPA issued a health advisory because they found out about these contaminants, and they wanted to provide information to the human health effects, and that may or may not be in the drinking water. We don't know. To provide Americans the most, including the most sensitive populations, with a margin of protection from a lifetime exposure of PFAS in drinking water, the federal EPA established a health advisory, which of 70 parts per trillion for the PFAS. Okay, it's important to note that the health advisories are not regulations. but they're designed to give state and local agencies the information they need to, you know, to inform the public and protect human health and the environment.
If this testing is done in Carlinville, as it's going to be, I would assume, will it be like a one-time test, or is this going to be a regular testing during this investigative period, as the EPA calls it? Sort of how will that be going?
What we got from IEPA this last week here, okay, they're going to test every community water supply in the state, okay? And what basically is going to happen here is over the next 12 to 15 months, they're going to come out and they're going to pull samples, okay? Mm-hmm. And depending on what kind of results they get from those samples, they may return and pull confirming samples, okay? And then depending on what the level of the PFAs are, they may require us to notify the public and pass the information along to them. They may have undertaken additional investigation, and they may undertake response orders, actions, in order to protect the health, human health, and the environment. So basically, they may, you know, they may want you to change your water treatment scheme in order to, you know, bring the PFAs down to an acceptable level or to remove them completely.
You mentioned that right now this is sort of an advisory situation versus a regulation. Is it probably safe to think that once they get done with this 12 to 15 month investigation, then we might see something that's, quote, called regulation for a water supply?
That's correct. That's at that point, once they've done that investigation and they know the extent of the problem, they may or may not implement a maximum contamination level, or an MCL that they call them, which is basically the maximum level that you can have of the PFAs in the water. Right now, they don't know what the extent of the issue is. I'm hoping that we'll be spared that. We won't have a lot of PFAs, because I think from what I've seen, the places where you see high PFA levels is where they've had a lot of manufacturing, you know, that's been discharging for years and years and years. And, of course, we haven't had that scenario here in the Carlinville area. So I'm, you know, hoping that when they pull our samples here, that ours will be relatively low.
What you know of this, as you say, this is sort of new as far as the testing, and if something shows up in a supply, do you know anything about if, say, it said under the advisory portion, you got too much of this or too much of that, as you said, and you might have to have a different treatment plan. Do you think this is going to be a hard thing to deal with if it shows up, or is it reasonably easy to contain?
You know, it's all speculation at this point, but basically from what I've seen, there's three ways that you could treat for the PFAs through activated carbon. But, you know, as I mentioned early in the discussion here, that these are resistant to heat, oil stains, and they don't break down. They stay in the environment. So when you remove them from the water, you're going to have some kind of management plan on what you're going to do with them after you get them out of the drinking water. So, you know, you have that, okay? They can be removed from activated carbon. They can be removed by ion exchange, and they can be removed by membrane filtration. Ion exchange and membrane filtration, we do not have here. Okay, we do feed activated carbon. So, you know, that is another element of this, which is perhaps, you know, our PFA levels are low, and the few that we do have has been removed by the activated carbon that we're feeding already.
In other words, as we come to the end of the show, I guess it'll be an interesting situation over this investigative period, and then we can sort of see what comes as far as regulation or what's going to happen with our drinking supplies.
Correct. And, you know, the mayor and the aldermen here, of course, you know, they want to make sure that the drinking water's safe. And so, you know, I've inquired with labs to find out, do you guys have the testing available yet? Most of them are purchasing the equipment now, and then they're seeking the certification that you have to have from the state of Illinois to be able to test it and, you know, be able to validate the results, all that. When that takes place, assuming that the tests aren't incredibly expensive, that we will probably test on our own to try and get an idea of, you know, if we have an issue out there. And, you know, of course, we'll want to be up front and let everybody know what our findings are, you know, with regard to that, and move on down the line here. The part that's kind of the unknown is that, you know, depending on what the MCL set at, depending on what the levels are of the PFAs and our supply, you know, will we have just something where we don't have to do anything? We've checked it and it's all good. Or will we have to implement, you know, some kind of project on our water plant? I mean, I don't think it's a secret that, you know, our water plant out there is pretty old. And, you know, the water source that we're pulling the water from is not viable. It's not a viable water source for the future, according to the state. So, you know, best case scenario, we don't have to do anything. Worst case scenario, we have to retrofit the old plant that, you know, hopefully we won't be using, you know, for, you know, much longer in the future because of the issues with the lake.
Dan Held, thank you for bringing us sort of up to date on the new PFAS investigation by the EPA.
You're welcome, Rick, anytime.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition for WSMI. I'm Rick Davis.